The road to the Final Four goes through Indianapolis this year.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Out of the Main and the first, maybe annual, Toto Invitational Tournament Spectacular Round 2.
It is real and it is spectacular.
Yes. All right. We're going to try to keep those to a tasteful minimum this week, unlike last week. So welcome back, everyone. I would like to welcome back my co-host, John. How are you? Okay, let's enough of that.
Yep.
Let's move on to welcoming the true stars of today's show. You may remember them from prior visits to Out of the Main. I like to refer to them as our brothers from others' mothers because we share love of very similar music. And that is none other than Rick Such and Eddie Cabello from Inside Music Cast. Gentlemen, welcome back.
Hey.
Hey, guys. Hello. How are you?
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us again. And John, your enthusiasm is overwhelming.
It is.
That's the most I get out of it.
I'm going to try to carry that bar all the way through to the end, so I thank you.
That's the kind of effect we have on John, yeah. Eddie, I guess.
I came in feeling good.
It's the pre-show banter that really wore him out.
Yeah, you know,
that's
what it is.
Yeah. Well, let's see if we can get him over the finish line here. So right. Welcome back, first of all, gentlemen. When we came up with this idea, literally the first people we thought of to have on the show were none other than Rick and Eddie, because not only have you done great with our tournaments in the past, but there's probably no bigger Toto fans, and you actually have a connection to Toto the band than the two of you. So welcome back. Thanks for being here. And if you don't mind, before we start, could you just remind people what your connection is to Toto?
Well, it really kind of goes back to I met Steve Lukather about 32 years ago, and that was just being a goofy fan after a show. And
are you still a goofy fan today?
I am still a goofy, nerdy fan, and I posted that on Facebook recently after one of your shows. So, I just as the years went by, you know, I actually was in an America Online user for our Toto news group forum. I don't know if
AOL.
You remember those back in the day. And there was one in there for Toto, and Steve Lukather was in there. He actually was – a lot of us were speculating as to whether or not that was actually him, but it was him. And he would – you know, it was great. You know, he would crack jokes, and it was a lot of toilet humor, and that's basically why he was in there. But it was fun, and I actually – would email him quite a bit. And then as years went by, we maintained like just sort of some communication. And then when Eddie and I met, we met, you know, mutually through some work he was doing. He brought to my studio because he owns an advertising agency. I have a recording studio. And we discovered we both love Toto. And then a few years went by. We decided to start Inside Music Cast. But before that, we met Scott Page. And Scott was
who was our first guest?
He was our first guest. He's a musician who he toured with Toto. He toured with Supertramp and Pink Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays, you know, sax player. Okay. And he started this company called New MBC, which was like a technology-based company. They were creating websites. They and one of the sites they were creating was for Toto. It was called the Toto Network. And really, that site they created for Toto was Facebook, a kind of a Facebook concept where you had like a running wall with messages. And then Scott set us up with – Eddie and I both had smartphones that could shoot video at the time. It was pre-iPhone, pre-Android, and I think they were Windows-based phones.
They were, yeah.
And so he set us up with software that would allow us to shoot video and then post it immediately, like we all do now, right? And so when Eddie and I would go to shows, we would shoot a bunch of content. Lee Sklar was doing the same thing when he was in the band. And then that's how sort of the whole idea of Inside Music Cast kind of came to be. Eddie and I were asked to be correspondents for the Toto Network. And then that idea from just being involved with them translated to what we're doing now with Inside Music Cast.
Right. And then Facebook basically caught up with technology and sort of passed it up to the point that, you know, the technology, the mash casting, that's what this thing was called mash casting.
They called it the mash casting.
And so Facebook basically, because of resources or whatever, they passed them up and this technology went away and everything flipped over upside down into what's called Facebook and real, a little more technologically advanced websites. So, and that's basically what, when that ended, then we got together and formed Inside Music.
You know, it was funny. I was in Florida last week and I saw Lee Sklar because I went down there to see the immediate family. family in concert. Mm-hmm. And Lee walks by with his phone, and I said, and he was just shooting a video, which you can see on his YouTube page. And when he passed by,
did he flip you off?
Yeah, we did a few times. And then, okay. And that's the way you just say hello to Lee. And
yeah.
And then when he walked by, I said, Lee, do you remember this used to be called the Mashcaster? And he goes, that's right, the Mashcaster, Scotty Page. And he remembered all of that. So
he remembered, yeah.
And so you have a streaming internet radio station.
Yeah, Inside MusicCast Radio.
And you do Toto Tuesdays, which
every Tuesday
speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Are there other Toto? I know I discovered a Toto event you guys did once where you're doing everything that Jeff Porcaro played on, whether it be Toto or outside of Toto. What other like Toto centric specials do you do? Is that the only other one?
Well, outside of interviewing the guys in the band, those are really the main things. The Jeff Porcaro thing happens on April 1st and August 5th, which are the day, obviously, he was born and the day he passed. So,
okay.
But we have other thematic themes on the musical path, Level 42 marathons Steely Dan, Christopher Cross, Michael McDonald,
Kenny Loggins.
Yeah. All together. Mm. So there's a lot of thematic stuff happening.
Love it.
And what's weird is it somehow is connected to Toto.
Well, yeah. Somehow. And another thing we do, and that we're going to do on the station, maybe I shouldn't say this yet, but I'm gonna, J.D. Riznar from the guy who created, his group created the whole yacht rock term.
Yeah,
I'm going to be talking to him soon, and I want to create a weekend yacht rock sort of playlist that includes everybody who's made the boat on his Yachtsky scale.
So that's
I got to collect all that music now.
But yeah, that's some work.
Yeah.
You'll enjoy it though. There's some deep stuff that you'll really dig.
Yeah. Yep.
There's a Spotify playlist if you want to cheat.
Go ahead. Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah. So, well, perfect segue into why we call you, or I call you, Brothers from Other Mothers, because that we overlap in more ways than just yacht rock. But for today, we definitely overlap in the Toto sphere. So you've all just described why we could have no one else but you come on and help us decide the final round of the Toto Invitational Tournament Spectacular.
So, yes.
Now, last week, John, I'll have you recap from the beginning, but last week we had guests on that got us from the 16 down to today's Elite Eight, and we were positing at the time whether they had the more difficult job or if you have the more difficult job, because all of the Blue Bloods survived. Rosanna, Africa.
Yeah, we had one upset, minor upset, didn't we?
We had a minor upset, but all the one seeds advance. I'll be over you and hold the line.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The question was at the time, who has the courage to knock those off and say that they are not the most representative songs of the Toto era? Or are we being overly influenced because those are just in the main zeitgeist and that's what we grew up with? So
wait, zeitgeist?
That's going to be up to you.
What is that?
Yeah, look it up.
Dang it.
It's a word in the dictionary, I believe.
Under Z.
Yes. So it's at the back. I haven't gotten that far yet, so don't spoil it for me. So
spoilers.
That's going to be up to you guys to decide. So you guys have deep, rich knowledge and history with Toto, so it's going to be interesting today. John, why don't you recap how we got from there to here?
Okay, well, sort of the goal was to wonder if we were, like Tom said, being influenced by culture and being influenced by
zeitgeist.
I don't even know how to say zeitgeist. But are we being overly influenced by that? Is there some other, for people that are big into Toto, we know what pop radio played, we know what MTV played. Is there something else where the people that really know the band, really love the catalog, is there something else that can rise to the top and knock off one of these and become the champion? That was the original question. So I started off with the concept of 64 songs, eventually got it down to 32, and it felt like it was still too deep for a tournament. I whittled that down to 20, which in our intro episode, we did four play-in games, which gave us then a full bracket of 16. Last week, we had listener Jorn, listener Michael, one from LA and one from Singapore. So we're hitting all the time zones. And they helped us get down to where we are now with the final eight. But before we get into that, sort of as a joke on the side talk channel, Rick and I were talking about my list of songs, and he mentioned that there were certain albums that maybe didn't get touched on. We covered that. We talked about it in the previous weeks, that they were part of the original 64 and 32. I wanted to have every album sort of represented, but as it got whittled down, some of the albums fell off. But I'd like you guys to at least give a moment quickly. Are there songs in the deep part of the catalog? You've seen the overall list I'm working with.
Yeah.
Are there songs in the deep part of the catalog that maybe you're not going to say should have been in there or should have won it, but that really strike a chord, pun, with you?
I made a whole list.
Yeah. But do you have any, let's hear it.
Do you have any off the top of your head, Eddie?
Yeah. Well, there's not really. I mean, I think where I come from in this whole thing is not necessarily about how deep you go into songs, but I was talking to Rick a couple of days ago in preparation for this, and we were mentioning that there's just too many phases or era
right.
of this band itself. Mm-hmm. That if we start looking at the era of 1982, which is, of course, when they won the big Grammys for mm-hmm. Total 4, that and before, and that's one phase where you almost have the style and the writing of one band. In 86, you know, when you start moving on with Fahrenheit and is it Isolation, Rick?
Yeah.
It'd be Isolation. From then on, it almost morphs into a quasi-digital, and the vocals change, that type of thing. So you have a whole different era, too. And then after that, of course, Luke takes on more in the mid-90s, more lead vocals and that type of thing. So we're talking about a band here that can do anything and has different phases throughout its period.
Well, you guys are all going to shoot me, but... What? Nah. I don't really think of Toto as, when you think about, you know, what a yacht rock is supposed to be, I don't think of Toto really as a yacht rock band.
Me neither.
And there are some songs that obviously have that flavor, like Georgie Porgy is a great example, that came out, you know, in 78 on their first album, and that has, you know, the bounce and the groove and, you know, all the things yacht rock is supposed to have. But, I mean, this band, I mean, think about it. Toto, the first album came out, and it was a mix of so many things. It was progressive rock. It was rock, straight rock. It was pop. There was some R&B groove in there. Hydra comes out. It's supposed to be like a concept album that, you know, the first couple of songs or few songs have that. And then it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's there's really nothing yachty, you know, from that standpoint. And then they go on to Turnback, which is not yacht at all.
No,
and then you know it's like they've gone from you know really getting into a great start with their first album. Hydra has a hit on it. Turnback does nothing; it falls flat. And then they do the greatest comeback of all time, and they go right into Toto 4 a year later. That you know is a masterpiece. Mm. So, which I guess you know there's some yacht involved there. But I hope you guys aren't John's pulling.
No,
John's pulling.
Well,
I'll tell
you, we agree with you.
Yeah, going forward, our tournament is not about figuring out what is the yachtiest Toto song, because part of our podcast this year is a move away from the yacht. We've kind of we've put our both feet on dry land, so okay. You don't have to worry about it being yachty.
All right. Just wanted to make sure.
but I would say I would agree too. I look at their entire catalog. I see maybe two. Yeah, you mentioned Georgie Porgy. 99 is probably yacht rock. I don't think Rosanna, Africa, Hold the Line, any of those belong on the boat. But
that's not
for me to say. Right. That's for somebody else to say. But so I agree with you. Eddie, I cut you off.
No, I was just going to mention a couple other tracks. I mean, then you have your Without Your Love, that type of thing from Fahrenheit and Home of the Brave. And, of course, you go into I mean, even Moshanga. And these songs are definitely not yacht at all, but they are totally a different approach by this one band. Now, mm-hmm. I personally think that a critical year for Toto, I mean, sure, they won the Grammys and that type of thing. But in 84, that's when things changed for the sound a little bit. And I think the keyboards started coming in. And that's when James Newton Howard and friends, you know, they were unveiling the DX7, right? So they were doing all this digital technology with Yamaha. And that sort of started this whole new digital era where they were sort of mixing that into their sound. And it change things. And
is that also when Joe Williams came out, or is that still
86 is when 86. Joe Williams came in on Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think there were a couple of Joe Williams also did some backing vocals prior to that.
I didn't know that.
It's escaping me, but I think there was a song or two where he was enlisted to do something on either Four or Isolation. I can't remember which.
Yeah. Anyway, we can pinpoint each song and find out which phase they're from. But at the very end of it, it's one big bucket that we're here to sort of like pull, stick our head and choose one of the apples here out of the
All
big bucket.
All of that's going to come up probably as we go through these songs that's left. So,
Well, why do we do that? Are you ready to jump into the tournament?
You're going to host, because Tom doesn't know what he's talking about, so he's got to be the host.
I only know Africa, every other song. I've never heard of this. Rosanna.
Who is she?
Anyways.
You poor man.
I know for a fact it's Rosanna Arquette, because I read the internet.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
It's hard not to add a side of hot, crispy hash browns to your favorite McDonald's breakfast. It's even harder not to eat said hash browns before you get home. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Now, let's real quickly, I'm going to let you gentlemen hear the 8 teams that were eliminated last week. Since you have not, because of the magic of podcasting, we're recording this before you've had a chance to hear. So these are the teams that got eliminated. These Chains, Leah, Without Your Love, and Make Believe. That's one side.
That's too bad.
Yep.
Yep. I agree. I Will Remember, Georgie Porgy got upset.
Yeah, that's the one minor upset.
Yep. Till the End, and 99.
That's
was
a surprise.
Upset.
It was upset.
Yeah, was upset by I'll Supply the Love, which we'll get to. So, any of the list of the discards that you say this is a tragedy, this whole thing is a farce, and we need to start over?
The whole thing. No, I mean, 99 is a track that I've always loved. There was a point in my life where I thought that might be my all time favorite song. And, you know, it kind of has sentimental reasons why I like that. I'll tell you, I bought the first Toto album with my allowance. So that's, you know, when I was eight or 9 years old. So when it first came out, you know, I've been
a fan
ever since.
Both our guests last week said the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was the first album they ever bought. Yeah.
I think you just listening to Hold the Line in the, you know, on the radio in my dad's car, and it's like it just hooked me, and I've been a fan ever since, which is crazy. But These Chains, did you say These Chains was one of them?
Yes.
It did get eliminated.
Absolutely love that song. It's such a great groove. You got Porcaro Shuffle on that one, and it's such a great. Did you have?
Well, it was eliminated by Rosanna. So,
well, okay.
Yes. And it was actually a tip in at the buzzer because we debated that.
Really? Oh wow.
It was the Purdy Shuffle going against the modified Purdy Shuffle. Yeah. So it's like, all right. All right,
did you have anything, Eddie?
I'll just say that how valuable of an ingredient in all this musical soup the Purdy Shuffle is.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what Jeff did with it, and he admittedly says this was my inspiration, that type of thing. So I mean that is a very iconic thing in this canon.
And Rosanna was a combination of the Purdy Shuffle and John Bonham's, you know, shuffle from
the Bo Diddley bass drum, as he infamously says. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Cool. Well, this is where the rubber meets the road, because all of these matchups feature a heavily favored one seed. And it's up to you guys to determine if any of those are going to get upset. So I think without further ado, we will present the first matchup.
Okay.
Let's do it. Hold the Line. I'm going right for the jugular.
Oh, boy.
Jeez. Rick. The number one seed, Hold the Line, against the three seed that upset 99, and that is I'll Supply the Love.
Oh, wow. Mm. Wow, that's tough. Both from the first album.
Yep.
Boy, oh, boy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. You got a coin. We hold no veto power this time around. It's up
like
to
I
you
said,
guys
the
to
perfect
decide.
Guess.
Yeah.
I think for me, I mean, I love both songs. Hold the Line, obviously, was the commercial hit.
Yeah.
While, you know, I'll Supply the Love, though, did have a little bit of success. It had some radio airplay, and I know it charted,
sure did.
Maybe not in the top 40, but if this just goes for personal preference, I'll take I'll Supply the Love. I love that tune.
Yeah, and I'm going for the enormity of what Hold the Line actually
meant for the band.
Meant for the
oh,
band.
Oh, yeah, it was huge.
For the future. I mean,
it was huge.
I mean, it was one of those where, wow, it I think, well, that was a single. Wasn't that?
Oh, yeah, it was a huge hit.
It was a single, and it was just huge for them. And I'm going basically on the iconic factor in this whole thing. I would say Hold the Line for me.
Let me present a third question to you that maybe will or will not change your answer. Mm-hmm. Which of the two do you feel better represents what Toto is all about, even given the complexity that you established earlier, that Toto's about a lot of things? Is there one of those two songs that you would point to and say, that one's probably more representative of Toto's?
I would say, great. Still say, I'll Supply the Love, only because, I mean, obviously, Hold the Line has, you know, a fantastic guitar solo. It's a driving kind of rock tune. But I love what encapsulates I'll Supply the Love, because it really brings in a lot of Steve Porcaro's synth parts in that, because, you know, those are very prominent. And to me, Steve is such a vital part of their early sound. And to me, I think that song really encapsulates more about who they are than I'll Supply the Love, although I agree with Eddie that I'll Supply the Love was just a monumental hit that put them on the map.
That is for hold the Line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Hold
oh,
the Line.
Oh, boy. How do we decide this, Tom?
Do we do rock, paper, scissors?
Or what
rock,
paper, scissors? No, John, you well, are burdened with the tiebreaker.
There you go.
Oh, gosh. I want to be Rick's friend, but Eddie, I think his iconic nature is correct. I wanted to go into this thing hoping that one of the Blue Bloods would get upset, but I got to go Hold the Line, I guess.
I'm not disappointed with that. That's a tough call.
It is a tough call. Remember all these lists of the songs that we're about ready to decide on, it's all subjective and to when you bought the album.
That's true. There's personal preference that comes into it.
We're going to have to hold the line on all of these
decisions.
or if, in the words of Michael McDonald, we're going to have to toe the line.
We are. You know, but Rick, I won't hold you back. You know, I won't. Oh, sorry.
We'll see if
you guys
we'll be over him in a
this.
Second. All right. Hold the Line does hold the chalk line. And
yes.
So they are advancing to the final four.
First chalk reference.
I was
right
the oddball on that one.
Yeah, I'll be one too.
Let's go to another region, and we are going to pit the one seed Rosanna against. We're having another cat fight here. This is with Pamela.
Yeah, Pamela had beat out Leah, and now Pamela has to, as you said, cat fight against Rosanna.
You want to go first this time, Eddie?
Yeah, I'm gonna. Okay,
we pose that this one is like the original versus the copy.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there's some.
Yeah, it's this is one of those that honestly I could flip the coin, because I love the vocals and I love everything about the Pamela. I mm-hmm. really do. I love everything about it. But Rosanna, it goes back to the iconic, and I just don't think that Pamela has everything. And all the active ingredients to sort of knock off Rosanna. It comes very close, but mm-hmm. I'll stick with Rosanna.
I've always thought that Rosanna is one of the most complete songs I've ever heard. I mean, it has everything. Yeah. It has such amazing production. The horn part, the horn charts in that song are just mm-hmm. off the chart. I remember some other musicians who lived in LA at the time telling us in past interviews that, you know, they were driving down the road when that came on, and they said that actually a friend of mine that was living in LA at the time who was doing studio work told me that the song was so big and it was such a huge hit that it was even being played on country stations in Los Angeles.
Jeez.
And, you know, like when it first initially hit the air. And it's just a fantastic, amazing song. I don't I don't know if there's any better Toto song. I don't know if I'm giving away too much in my decisions on how this is going to go down the road, but it's just it's just such a fantastic, beautiful tune.
You know, if we were living in some alternate universe where the timeline was different, and if I had heard Pamela first and then Rosanna, I would probably pick Pamela. Because I think these songs are so equal, but it is true that when one seems so much modeled after the other, I would have to go for the original as well. Yeah. So my vote, even though I'm not a tiebreaker, my vote would be Rosanna still in this one.
Yeah.
Seventh One is my favorite album of theirs, but...
I think it's a lot of people's, a lot of Toto fans' favorite album.
All right. All right, so Rosanna is advancing. I am resisting every urge to re-mention the word zeitgeist, because I think Rosanna benefits from the fact that it is a cultural fixture.
I haven't looked it up yet, so...
decades. Yeah. All right, good. Yeah,
I'm still lost.
Look it up. I could be wrong, so don't look it up. All right. Rosanna moves ahead. All right. Let's do this matchup. The number one seed, I'll Be Over You, a different sound for Toto, against I Won't Hold You Back, the two seed. So now this is kind of like ballad on ballad crime here.
Oh my God.
This is, whoa.
They're both great songs and obviously in both hits. But for me, I Won't Hold You Back is head and tails above that song. And just in terms, again, it boils down to production, implementing the London Symphony Orchestra.
Yeah.
And just, it's such a beautiful song. You know, as much as we, you know, Steve Lukather has, at least at that time, and he still does, but he has such a great singing voice. And if you look at a lot of their tunes, he sang a lot of their ballads. And he's a good writer of ballads as well. As great of a guitar player as he is in musician, he can write a kick-ass ballad, and so for me, it's I Won't Hold You Back.
Yeah. He sang both of these, right?
Well, that's true. You're right.
Yeah. Okay. And yeah. the orchestra, was that? I think got mentioned last week. Like the arrangement was what, James Newton Howard and Marty Page conducting or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's power music, power quality for arranging.
Yeah. Eddie, what do you think?
Same thing. There's no contest for me. That is a different level, and I think, Rick, you said the right word. It's a different level of production. And when you bring guys in like Howard and these guys, you know, and the symphonic orchestra, and I can just imagine, I would have loved to be a fly on the wall on that session, wouldn't you?
To
see their song. I mean, these guys are come to life in the way it would. I mean, they could have just cut one and they could have gone home after that song. But
you got to think it was at a time when if you wanted an orchestrated sound, you had to hire an orchestra and you had to be arranged. And there was no, you know, sitting down and having an orchestra at your fingertips. And
Well, I pointed out at one point, when we featured this song a while back, that when Luke starts his guitar solo, he picks the same note that the French horns are playing, and so he sort of emerges out of the orchestra. Yeah. His original note is like buried in the French horns, and then it evolves. It's like it's either an incredible accident or it's just absolute brilliance.
And that's a great point. The French horns really play a role in the arrangement of that orchestrated piece, because they're just really prominent and powerful, and you know that voice really pops out, and in Luke's solo is just maybe one of his best solos. I just love that solo. It just reeks with emotion.
Yeah.
And it's so few notes, but he just makes it work so well.
They definitely invested a heck of a lot into this track, because right around that time, you know, the people were using, of course, an analog sense. I mean, they could have picked up an ARP sound and created the string patches, but they didn't. They went full throttle in this whole thing, and I think that's what makes it such a great song.
True.
Yeah. What I love about it, and I love both songs, but what I love about I Won't Hold You Back is there's like a certain melancholy to the way the chords are written and the lyric is written, how the bridge comes in and adds an additional tension, and then the solo over it, like you mentioned, Rick. It's all of it just sounds like I'm just... lamenting, I'm wailing.
Yep, it's true.
Like You don't get that with I'll Be Over You.
I just had a flashback to high school and that song being played at a school dance. And, you know, I just remember seeing all the couples, you know, lovingly embracing each other and they're dancing. It's like, this is a freaking breakup song, guys.
I know.
Well, okay, Rick, you went that far. What was her name?
I'm
what
not
was her
yeah.
name?
I'm
come
not
on, come on. No.
Pamela. Her name was Pamela.
It was Lorraine.
Who hurt you, Rick?
It was Lorraine.
Who hurt you, Rick?
It was Lorraine.
Lorraine.
All right, Lorraine.
Okay, well done.
Yeah,
well done.
So many
there are
songs.
No Toto songs named after Lorraine.
None. Oh, yes, sir.
Leah's as close as we get. All right. Final matchup to decide the final four. We've got the obvious number one seed, Africa, in a song that I described as if you took all of the various, you call them eras, call them genres or styles, and you mashed them into one song, and you had to do them all at once, not a little of one,
yeah,
a little
so you
of the other.
Yeah, so you get the power pop. Describe what those are, because these guys
the power
didn't hear
pop,
that perfect.
Yep, the what we'll call the yacht rock, the prog side, yep, and then the melodic sort of ballady side that we just mentioned. You jam it all together and smush it like a jelly and peanut butter sandwich, and it's Stop Loving You. The three seed. So, which of those two songs are you going to advance as the one that more represents what Toto's all
Africa
about?
Or Stop Loving You?
Which version of Stop Loving You? The Japanese release version without John Anderson's scat vocal or the American United?
Well, we've got to have the prog in there, so we're going to have the one with John in there.
Good answer.
Did you know there were two versions?
No,
of that?
I did not, yeah. But I wanted to have a smart, clever answer at the ready. But no, tell me about the Japanese version real quick.
Oh, well, it just had the Japanese version. I actually found it in college in a cutout.
Is it like a
bin.
Label licensing issue? They couldn't use his voice or something?
Don't know. That's a really interesting. Huh. I've never really known the answer to that. I've never bothered to look it up. But on that Japanese version that I have, it had a bonus track, of course. Japan always gets the bonus track, and it was the seventh one. Are you guys familiar with that tune?
Yeah. I am. Yeah.
And then, but then when I was listening, I remember popping that into my CD player and I got to Stop Loving You, and it's like, you know, it went bum, 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 ba da da dum, bum, bum, ba da da dum. And I thought, like, yeah, where's John's scat? It's gone. Yeah, it was just that part without his scat. And I thought, that's really weird. I thought there was something wrong with my CD. I got to take it out and clean it. Maybe I'd,
yeah.
You know.
It's funny.
Yeah, you need a buffet to get the genie John Anderson
out
of the lamp.
Get John out of there.
Yeah. All right. Well, who wants to be the brave one to go first on this one? Stop Loving You, which we just talked about, or Africa? The iconic
Eddie, you want to go first?
Wow. Let's talk about rhythms first, because they both have an amazing riff rhythmically and so different. I think, you know, Stop Loving You, it's really complex. It really gets complex, and it I think it lets, I don't know, for some reason when I hear that song, I think this is Toto showing their, how complex they can be with rhythms and time signatures and that type of thing. Africa's not like that. Africa's not like that. In fact, it's to the contrary.
But it's highly melodic instead.
It is. Yeah. And when Page wrote it, you know, it's one of those things that I think the way I understand it is that he held off a little while before he even pitched that song to the band, mm-hmm, because he was putting some meat on the bone. He thought of, I read that he came up with this riff and some lyrics on it, and he just let it stew. And then he presented it at the right time. I think what it became, Africa, goes back to the iconic nature of this whole thing. I don't think you can have a Toto without an Africa. And I think it's just too valuable. Instead of Stop, I appreciate Stop Loving You, but it's I think it's on a different plateau.
Yeah, I mean, as important as, you know, we mentioned Hold the Line was to the beginning of their career, Africa was the sort of the pinnacle that has, you know, has basically carved a niche in their whole legacy. You know, and it's like Toto fans obviously know that song, but like the casual Toto fan will know Africa, and it's like the whole world knows Africa. It's actually been, you know, probably in the last 10 years, one of the more popular songs.
Yeah, it's cross generational for sure.
Well, you know, the Journey song, Don't Stop Believin'. It's had sort of the same sort of resurgence as Africa has. Africa is their signature, you know, tune. It was the only tune that hit number one for them. Rosanna was a number two. And, you know, I just – Stop Loving You can't compete with a song as iconic as Africa.
I believe the Toto guys have actually said, you know, after playing it over and over all these years, at the very end of it, they say, these songs have been very good to us.
Well, and you know, and you guys probably already know this, but you know that the song almost didn't make the album.
Yeah.
And Luke was not a fan of the song. He didn't really – I think he has said that he really didn't want it on the album. I think one of the considerations for not putting it on the album was – that vinyl only had so much track time on each side, and there was a the question is whether or not the song would actually fit. So it was kind of held off, and then they decided to put it on, and they found a way to make it work. So I mean, just think if they had left that song off.
Well, yeah, and it's got that long running and a super long fade out, so yeah. They certainly found time for it.
They leave that song off the album. They don't have a number one hit, and they don't have this resurgence. This song has helped them, I think, become the iconic resurgent band from the 80s that can now sell out. I just saw them in concert 2 weeks ago in a 2,000 seat theater, completely sold out. And you don't have that.
And there's no song in the world that really sounds like it. We joked about Mashonga because it's kind of a retelling of the story.
Yeah.
But really, there's no song that sounds like Africa ever, anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so without that, you don't have that little fingerprint like you say.
Yeah.
And of course, Luke famously said, if that song's a hit, I'll run naked down Hollywood Boulevard.
Has he done that yet?
I don't know, but at this age, I don't want to see it. Okay. So. And fair's fair, Luke. We'll take your word
for it. We'll give him a pass on that.
I'm not going to say hard pass, but I just did.
I like a little fact about Africa is that woven into Toto 4 is a little guy on the side named Lenny Castro.
Yeah.
Who is making.
And Joe Percaro.
These guys are making these rhythms. Think of it. Think of the intros of just Toto 4 themselves and what the percussion, how it's so, so valuable. And this is just another one of those cases.
I'm pretty sure that's Joe, though, on the congos.
Yeah,
on this
one here. Yeah.
But there's just the idea of the tape looping thing that we're creating that percussion intro for Africa. That concept of tape looping, they took it to such an extreme, yet it became something that made other people think, well, what if? So, I mean, it drove technology or it just drove inspiration.
Yes, that's true.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
All right, gentlemen, I have a feeling where this is headed, but let's do the final four anyway. Are you guys ready?
All right.
Let's do it anyway.
Let's start with Rosanna against I Won't Hold You Back.
Is it all that easy? I don't know.
Boy, it does get harder now, doesn't it?
It does, but you know what? As it gets harder, these two are coming off the same album. And and that just speaks to the nature of how excellent this
So we've got
three out of the final
three
four.
Out of four. Yeah. And what's the fourth one again?
Hold the line.
Hold the line. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
For me, it's Rosanna.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know I expounded about the amazing, you know, orchestration and production and all that stuff of I Won't Hold You Back, but God, Rosanna for me is just such a killer tune. It pushes every button for me. You know,
it the most complete song you ever heard.
It's one of them, yeah, for sure. Yeah. And so I've got to go with Rosanna over
Right. Last week we started to dissect real quick, Eddie, is that, you know, you've got obviously Luke's awesome solo. You've got a great groove that Picaro lays down. You've got essentially what amounts to a piano solo at the end from Paige. You've got the iconic synth solo from Steve Picaro mm-hmm. in the middle. I mean, it's just every little bit of that song is brilliant, and there's so much to enjoy. Yeah. So yeah. And that doesn't even take into account the horn section.
Right.
Hey?
Yeah.
Right. Hey, so, hey now.
Jerry Hay. And,
yeah.
Exactly.
Luke. All right, Eddie. Is there any reason to not advance?
No, there's no really no reason. And I think, you know, Luke's been quoted plenty of times in saying that as a descriptor that this is the ultimate Toto song. He's been known to say that. And I'm like, how can you find
it? Not this time.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's just, no. I think the arm wrestling is over. It's pretty easy with this one. It's Rosanna.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Eddie, I'm going to let you go first on the other side. Gotcha. Is it equally easy mm-hmm. to pit Africa against Hold the Line?
Yep.
Who are you advancing?
Oh, baby.
Oh, baby
icon
is right.
Icon versus icon, man.
Icon versus icon. Just look at this. How many years were between these two albums, Rick? Four and Toto. Was that
it was four years.
Four albums. 4 years.
4 years.
4 years.
78 to 82.
So in 4 years' time, you
maybe five, because they actually started recording it in 77.
Okay. The reason I'm asking is because these songs sometimes sound quasi similar in certain portions. Different rhythms, different styles, whatever. But this one, 5 years apart, this is written. It's brought forward and to the band, and it gets recorded, and it becomes a huge hit. You know, this thing with Hold the Line. The piano intro will always be iconic. I mean, it'll always be there's an iconic nature. Now we're talking about icons of songs for Toto, because they're both iconic. Right now, I think I think Africa has it.
Yeah,
it really does. That's
Rick.
Yeah, I agree with what Eddie said. They're both amazing songs, but again, when you think about the canon of Toto's, you know their entire catalog. Africa is such an important song. It's a great song. There's so many things I love about Hold the Line. But if you had to put a gun in my head, I'd say Africa.
Well, I think the die has been cast here since before the earth was formed that these two were going to meet in the finals.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I'm assuming you guys agreed with both of those selections. Rosanna and Africa?
I do.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
You know, you started to make a case for Hold the Line that was starting to convince me. I was, you know, you try to remove all of the nostalgia from it.
Yeah.
And all of, I don't know if you could do that with Africa.
No, I don't think so.
Aura that just sucks you in.
And Eddie said, I think it was Eddie, you said something about where would we be if Africa never existed? You know, when you look at where it went and the things that it influenced, you know, Even if you go music against music, Africa against Hold the Line, when you add all of the social impact and the recording impact of Africa, as we talked about people maybe imitating the tape looping thing, it's just a bigger part of history, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it certainly is.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear Hold the Line this would probably just make you guys
more kick
cringe,
drum.
But no, just remixed and polished with the Toto 4 sound, because the drum sounds so primitive to me. It's almost like that's almost pre Toto. All right,
yeah, I know what you mean. I know
get
you
out mean. While the getting's good.
Yeah.
All right, so that brings us to the epic finals of the 2024 Toto Invitational Tournament Spectacular.
It's real.
A great pairing. Huge pairing.
Uh-huh.
This it doesn't get any bigger than these two, which is Rosanna versus Africa. I'm gonna duck.
All right, guys, fight it out. Do you agree?
You know, Rick.
Can you agree?
Let's go get a drink or something. Can we come back and
get a little more loose? I need a bathroom break.
Me too. Ease the pressure. Hold on, I need a drink of water. I definitely
all right.
do.
All right, while
talk
you're
it
drinking,
through.
I'll
talk it through.
I'll talk you. Yeah, I mean, obviously, Africa is iconic. They're only number one song. I think it's the song that has, like I mentioned earlier, it's propelled the band to heights that, you know, they probably wouldn't be enjoying right now if that song hadn't existed. I mean, sure, they'd still have success. They had other hits, but that song is worlds above, you know, in terms of popularity and the way it's known and the way the band is sort of identified by that song. But Rosanna would be the one I would choose because, like I said earlier, I think that song is just from an arrangement standpoint. It has all the elements. If I were going to tell somebody, you don't know – if somebody didn't know Toto and I'd say, go listen to a Toto song, I'd say, go listen to that because it's a masterpiece. It's a musical masterpiece and it has everything – it has the original, you know, the original cast of members. It has amazing solos, like, you know, Steve Porcaro's 2-week solo that, you know, he had to program. It has Jeff Porcaro's shuffle. Yeah. It has, did you know that? It took him 2 weeks to actually lay that down. And then, you know, the horn arrangement in that song is just so stellar. And it's, there's everything. I just love that song. Rosanna gets the nod for me.
Okay, I'm going to go with Georgie Porgy. Oh, no. Sorry. Wrong song.
Check your notes.
I've got a write-in candidate.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to ask the guys, that being Toto, which one of these songs has made them the most money?
Interesting.
I think you know the answer to that. Yeah, just the way
I know
the
answer.
Africa.
Yeah.
So
wow.
I don't know. I mean, I hate to bring money into this whole thing.
Can I say one more thing about Rosanna?
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, yeah.
Something I wanted to say about Rosanna, and I'm not trying to convince you.
Sure, you're not.
But Bobby Kimball, Bobby Kimball sings his ass off on that tune. I mean, you know, he's just – that is such a great era for Bobby.
He
you
does
know,
on Africa, too.
Yeah. Well, he does. but not like Rosanna.
Not like Rosanna.
Right.
I will give you this. When Bobby comes in – you know, when the first time that he opens his mouth in that track, it blows you away.
Well, and it's also
which one,
Luke.
Rosanna?
Luke. Rosanna. Eddie? Rosanna.
Luke starts the song.
Yeah.
Luke's vocals are first,
exactly.
But then Bobby's follow up in the octave three, you know, two octaves higher.
It's true.
It's amazing. It's an amazing experience. I mean, if you have you know, the headphones on or a room with top notch, it'll blow you away. Because when Bobby was in his prime, I tell you, he blew people away just in the audience. And he's a fantastic singer.
Yeah,
what he did,
he really was.
What he did for Toto, we got to tip our hat to this guy because he's one of the most iconic rock singers that ever lived.
Yeah, I think so too.
In my opinion. But back to the money thing. Which one made is the big money maker for these guys that is life to them.
I'm having fun watching your brain explode.
I know, well, I know.
You know, I don't know the answer to this, but it's. I remember Rosanna came out first, right?
It did.
And so, like, if Rosanna hadn't come out first and laid that groundwork, would Africa being almost like the balance of each other? You know, they're so different that.
Yeah,
you know,
Rosanna,
would Africa have hit by itself? I don't know. Maybe. It's hard to say.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
That's a very good point, though, because the original singles that make it big are the ones that really lay the groundwork for the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And a very high expectation, too. Because if the second single doesn't hit, sometimes the label says, see ya, you know, that type of thing. I mean, that's the fact.
But they also had I Won't Hold You Back that was in there, too. And Make Believe was also a top 40 hit.
It was.
It hit the bottom 30-something.
Yep.
It's 38 or 39 or something.
Okay.
So, I mean, they did pave the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we decide this based on which song Weezer covered first?
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah. That is good. That is really good.
Because I believe Africa was the original intent and Rosanna was the April Fool's joke.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
All right.
Okay. So anybody else need my decision here? My decision.
We do.
I had to just joke around about the African, the money thing. I had to just a little bit. But I'm going with Rosanna.
Tom, we have a champion.
We are going to award the cup for the first annual Toto Invitational Tournament Spectacular to Rosanna.
Do I have to ask what size the cup is?
No, I think it's the big one, right?
Okay.
This is the big award.
The big one.
Right.
Wow, that was difficult. I'm sweating.
No
interesting.
Kidding.
I'm glad the way it turned out. I was sort of hoping for an upset along the way, like a major upset, but I don't think you could intellectualize it, though, right?
But the road was interesting.
My only regret was that Make Believe didn't make a Cinderella run.
That's such a great
song.
I know, I do too.
Oh, so
and maybe if Eddie and I were in the previous selection, you know, prior to the final eight here, maybe we would have, I don't know, we may have chosen differently.
Right. We've been a little prepped.
Yeah, I thought 99 might have been one that did a little more surprise.
Yeah, I'm surprised that didn't make it any further.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, lightning round for you two. Just give us your gut answer. Make-believe against I Won't Hold You Back.
I like make-believe.
Yeah.
Okay. Make-believe or I'll Be Over You?
No, I do make-believe.
Yeah. I would do. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
The lyrics are good.
There we go. But,
that would have gotten it to the final four.
Yeah.
Four. Make-believe or Rosanna.
Oh, wait a second. You said make-believe or I Won't Hold You Back?
No.
Yes. Was that the first one?
The first one.
The first one.
Oh, I'm sorry. I would have taken I Won't Hold You Back.
Oh, really?
Oh, then it's out. Yeah. All right. Okay. Chalk.
All right. Sorry, I was...
The alternate universe is the same as this one. Yeah, okay.
Onward.
All right. Well, gentlemen, this was great. We really appreciate you being here. We'll have to do it again. We'll have to have you back to talk about things other than silly tournaments that John and I come up with. But until then, so you gave us a little bit of a teaser. You got a little Yacht Rock thing kind of in the works. What else is coming up that we should be looking for? Any awesome interviews you want to tease?
Well, I want to just...
I don't know if we can say it yet.
No, we can't.
We're actually getting close to our 300th episode. And we're kind of on a little break right now. We started off the year with three or four interviews, and we're gearing up for our 300th episode, which next one will be 299,
mm-hmm.
and then 300. But we've got kind of a surprise guest lined up for that one.
Yeah.
And
all right.
And
cool.
I don't think we can announce it
no,
yet.
No. It's all we can say is it's somebody that is off the radar. And we'll surprise everybody, and it'll be well worth the wait. That's all I can say.
You guys got Richard Simmons?
Not that far off the radar.
That is a get. All right.
He's got cool.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, we love everything you guys do. So
yeah, we do.
Anything we could do to send more love your way, let us know. If you want to, when that episode does come out, just make sure you know so we can spread the word to our peeps as well.
Thanks, yeah, guys. Absolutely. We love you guys. Thank you, man.
And all right. Well, congrats. Is it? Which one is – I always forget who has the page 99.
That's me.
John.
It's John?
It's John.
Yep. You've got something new coming out, right?
Yeah, that's coming out in May. So I'll send you some pre-stuff before it comes out.
Yeah,
so
I'm looking forward to
like
that.
If you like it, you can talk about it. If you don't like it, you don't have to talk about it.
You know? I've loved both the albums you've put out so far. So.
No doubt.
Yeah, this one's a little more AOR, probably closer to the Toto vein than the Steely Dan vein.
Cool.
So I'm kind of moving the same direction that the podcast is, a little away from the yacht, a little more into the AOR rock stuff.
There you go.
That's great.
Yep.
Well, thanks for having us on.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. Come back anytime.
All right.
Oh, real quick. Yep. Do you guys have any fancy way to end your podcast, like a catchphrase or a sign-off?
Keep on reaching for the stars. And oh, no, that was Casey Kasem.
I just say cowabunga, dude. No, I don't know.
Right. Ciao, dude.
Close enough.
All right, talk to you later.
We're workshopping something. It goes like ahoy polloi.
Yeah.
There it is.
See you later.